For KBIA News, I'm Jason Hoffman. The ongoing battle between Missouri's Democratic governor and the Republican-led legislature over the state budget has resulted in the crafting of a proposed amendment to the state constitution. Amendment 10 would limit the governor's budgetary authority. Specifically, it would limit his ability to withhold money temporarily from the budget each year. Marshall Griffin provides more details.
Amendment 10 faced heated debate in the Missouri House during this year's legislative session. Democrats viewed it as an attack on Governor Jay Nixon for his long track record of withholding money from the state budget every year. During debate, Democrat Chris Kelly of Columbia told fellow House members that he too was frustrated with the governor over his numerous withholds. But he said that stopping Nixon by amending the Constitution would make it harder to produce a balanced budget, which the governor is required to do.
The way that we weaken the balanced budget is that the legislature can simply override withholdings and force an unbalanced budget. That, over time, is a bad path to go down.
Kelly also called it a permanent solution to a temporary problem, citing Nixon's eventual departure from the governor's office in January 2017. The sponsor, GOP House member Todd Richardson of Poplar Bluff, disagreed. He said the amendment would allow the legislature to have a role whenever any Missouri governor oversteps his or her bounds.
Nothing in House Joint Resolution 72 prohibits, prevents, or restricts the governor's ability to withhold money when there is a financial justification for doing so. Not one thing.
Therein lies the issue. Republican lawmakers and the Democratic governor have been fighting for years over whether those withholds are justified. Nixon has withheld money from the budget every year he's been in office, choosing to release it later on whenever incoming budget revenue improved. He's accused GOP leaders both this year and in years past of sending him unbalanced budgets that needed to be set right. Republican leaders in turn accuse him of withholding money from the budget as punishment for their questioning his budget projections or his agenda. It's obviously no surprise that Nixon's opposed to Amendment 10.
I don't think it's the right policy to limit the power of the chief executive, a power that's been used by governors over the years. I don't think amending the Constitution to lessen the fiscal strength that has been mentioned literally in each of our AAA bond documents as a needed strength and has been used by governors for generations in Missouri to maintain that fiscal balance. But we'll let Missourians speak on that. I will be voting no.
Meanwhile, Amendment 10 supporters outside of the Missouri Capitol hallways are spending lots of money on commercials like this one, attacking Nixon's handling of the state's economy.
It's appalling that Governor Jay Nixon repeatedly withholds education dollars from our local schools, especially when they're working so hard to regain full accreditation. That's failed leadership, and it needs to stop. By voting yes on Amendment 10, it will stop.
That ad features Bev Randles, chair of the Missouri Club for Growth. The group has a separate political action committee that's backed by wealthy financier Rex Singfield. So far, the Club for Growth PAC has raised more than $2 million for Amendment 10. That includes a single contribution of $1.2 million from Singfield alone. The Missouri Budget Project, a group that advocates for low-income residents, says the measure would further politicize the process of balancing the budget. The group also says several governors before Nixon have withheld money from the state budget, including Republicans Kit Bond, John Ashcroft, and Matt Blunt. In Jefferson City, I'm Marshall Griffin.
Monsanto and other pesticide companies say they will continue selling soybean seeds coated with chemicals that the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says do not increase yields. And as Veronique LaCapra reports, the treated seeds may be contributing to bee deaths.
The seeds in question are pre-treated with a class of insecticides known as neonicotinoids. As the crop grows, the pesticide spreads throughout the plant, protecting it from insect pests. But neonicotinoids are also acutely toxic to the honeybees used to pollinate many agricultural crops. And some studies suggest that even very low doses in pollen or nectar can affect bee behavior and make them vulnerable to parasites and diseases. But companies that make neonicotinoids like Bayer or sell treated seeds like Monsanto say that research shows their widespread use in agriculture is not harming honeybees. And in a statement, Monsanto says it will keep selling the seeds next year. I'm Veronique LaCapra.
Columbia shoppers could be looking at an extra charge when they get to the end of the checkout line in the grocery store. KBIA's Ellie Bausch has more.
The Missouri chapter of the Sierra Club proposed an ordinance at Monday's city council meeting that would ban single-use plastic bags because of the harm they cause to the environment. The ordinance would require shoppers to bring their own reusable bags or pay for plastic bags to use at checkout. City Council member Jenny Chadwick says she agrees that single-use plastic bags are bad for the environment but she thinks stores should be allowed to choose how they go about getting rid of them.
I can see, like, the proposition, letting the store owners decide exactly how they implement that, if they want to provide paper bags, if they want to charge, you know, 10 cents a paper bag, or if they want to give you, and if you bring your own bag, that's something that they can probably work out.
If the city council passes the ordinance, Columbia would not be the first city to implement a measure like this. In September, the state of California banned single-use plastic bags. Cities in Arizona and New Mexico have also banned the use of plastic bags. For KBIA News, I'm Ellie Bausch.
MU's Office of Off-Campus Student Services and the Off-Campus Advisory Board suspended Aspen Heights' marketing privileges to students. After much thought and conversation, Aspen Heights will not be able to market their complexes to students through MU forums for an entire year. Associate Director of Student Life Kim Dude says complexes that negatively impact a student's safety and ability to be successful can lose marketing privileges.
The ability to communicate with our, to be able to market to our students should be a privilege. And that privilege can be taken away if certain responsibilities are not met.
Dude says none of the decisions to suspend housing complexes from marketing are made lightly, and that it is important to realize the Office of Off-Campus Student Services puts students first. She says the period of suspension is given for housing complexes to regroup and improve themselves so they may continue to market in the future. Columbia's Downtown Community Improvement District announced they've appointed a new executive director. KBIA's Danielle Dietrich has the story.
Starting next month, Katie Essing will be the new executive director of CID. The CID board works on a wide variety of projects like maintenance, economic development programs, grant writing, advocacy, and event planning for the 50-block area between MU, Columbia College, and Stevens College. Christina Kelly, chair of the CID board, says Essing was chosen because she has the specialized and varied skills to match CID's eclectic work.
Downtown is made up of business owners that can be retail and or restaurant or and or service industries. We have property owners, we have residents, we are bordered by three colleges. So, you know, there's a variety of people that have interest in what our downtown is and what we do. So really creating consensus among all those different groups, having the ability to do that, that was one of our main goals.
Essing's experience includes teaching retail marketing at MU, managing shopping malls, and volunteering with the Chamber of Commerce. Some of her duties as director will include setting design guidelines for developers looking to build downtown and helping coordinate a holiday shop hop. She starts the position November 3rd. For KBIA News, I'm Danielle Dietrich.
Some Missouri lawmakers are concerned the state isn't doing enough to prevent an Ebola outbreak. At a public forum with state health officials Wednesday, Republican senators questioned whether emergency responders have the training and resources to handle the deadly virus. Republican senators Kurt Schaefer of Columbia and Rob Schaff of St. Joseph also say they want the governor to issue a travel ban against those who have been to countries with Ebola outbreaks. There are no cases of Ebola in Missouri, and the state health department director says it's difficult to contract the virus except through close contact with bodily fluids. Department of Health and Senior Services Director Gail Vasterling says regional training is planned to teach healthcare workers how to put on protective gear and follow recommended protocols. Some citizens of Columbia's First Ward are looking to recall their recently elected council member, Ginny Chadwick. Chadwick was the swing vote on a proposed ordinance that would have decriminalized the cultivation of up to 2 marijuana plants for adults 21 and older. The vote failed 4-3 at the city council meeting on Monday night. Some First Ward voters are organizing a petition to recall the councilwoman, who they say went back on her word. Eapen Thampy is an activist in favor of recalling Chadwick. He says Chadwick has lost the trust of the voters.
We made sure we went to several forums and had, you know, facilitated constituent contacts in terms of, you know, making sure that we knew where she stood on this issue. She assured us, and, you know, publicly in a couple of forums, and, you know, privately to specific people that she would support such an ordinance.
Chadwick seems to voice that support on her campaign during an NAACP forum in March. Chadwick said, quote, "I think as the city of Columbia, we are innovators and initiators in many things coming to our state, and we are in a great position to support something other states are taking initiative to support." Thampy says the group hoping for the recall should have enough support to reach the 249 signatures the petition would need in order to subject Chadwick to a recall election. Chadwick was unavailable for comment until later in the week. For KBIA News, I'm Jason Hoffman.